It's time once again for another edition of Rockin' the Boat. My name's the V-Man, and today I'll have an interview with Israeli-Dutch filmmaker Benny Bruner, maker of the film
It Is No Dream, a 53-minute documentary on the Israeli radical left and its opposition to the Israeli occupation policies.
Benny Bruner will be in town tonight showing the film It Is No Dream at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, July 24th at the Rio Theater, 1205 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Today we'll discuss the film and the implications for peace and justice in modern Israel. Stand by, stay tuned. Rockin' the Boat coming up straight ahead here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. If you will it, it is no dream, wrote the founder of political Zionism, Theodor Herzl, in 1902, prophesizing the creation of a utopian Jewish state. 100 years later, some of the harshest critics of Israel's occupation policies are Israelis themselves, a small minority of intellectuals, political activists, and artists whose voices are rarely heard outside Israel. It Is No Dream documents the will for peace and justice within modern Israel. Often in the U.S., the Israeli position on relations with Palestine is perceived as unified. This film, packed with the testimonies of Israeli activists and commentators, portrays a vibrant, diverse dialogue rather than a simple monologue. In early 2002, filmmakers Benny Bruner and Joseph Rochlich, I hope I said that right, traveled through the country and spoke to a number of them. My guest today is Benny Bruner, an Israeli-Dutch filmmaker based in Amsterdam since 1986. Before becoming a film director, he studied at Tel Aviv University Art Faculty's Film and Television Department. Bruner wrote, directed, and produced documentary films internationally since the mid-1980s. He has worked in the Middle East, Europe, South Africa, and the United States, and his film, It Is No Dream, will be showing tonight at the Rio Theater in Santa Cruz. Benny Bruner, I want to welcome you to Free Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us, how did you become a documentary filmmaker? What motivated you?
Okay. When I was a little boy, 5 and a half, it's a true story, swear to God, we just emigrated to Israel from Romania. My parents had no money, or hardly any money. They couldn't buy me toys. One day, my father came back home with the inside of a radio that he found on the street. Already didn't function anymore, and he gave it to me as a present, as a magical machine. And I've been spending months later basically trying to find the little people inside, the one who make the noises when you listen to radio. And I would imagine myself using it as a magical projection machine to project on the wall my fantasies. So I guess since then I acquired the virus of filmmaking.
Talk a little bit about your childhood. You mentioned your parents emigrated from Romania to Israel. What year was that? And maybe give us some of the reasons that they emigrated.
Well, it was in the late 1950s, 1959. Both of my parents, they were Zionists. They believed in the cause of Zionism, that all the Jews should immigrate to Israel, live there. And on top of it, their family, especially if my mother, her sister and her brother immigrated earlier, so she also wanted to be with them.
I see. And when you got to Israel, what were your impressions as a young boy in the late 50s, early 60s?
My first memories as a human being are from Romania, and basically they are of snow, of using my snow slide, how you call them?
Sled,
okay, the snow sled. And we arrived in Israel, and it's a different landscape. We basically moved into the northern part of the Negev desert, so no snow, no sleds, no these kinds of stuff. But I had a happy happy childhood. It was nice. The neighborhood in which I grew was filled up with children from basically all over the world: North Africa, Poland, Russia, Uzbekistan, all kind of funny places.
And they were all Jewish emigres, right?
Yes, they were all Jewish immigrants. Yes.
And did you have any? I guess. Well, maybe you mentioned your parents were Zionists. Did they instill in you as a young boy these same values?
Well, they didn't have to do it. It's the whole system who does it. The school system, the environment. You know, that the whole idea that is to that as a Jew you should live in Israel and to help build the state.
I see.
That's what we were educated about. Actually, that it's not only that we should be good pupils, but we should be good contributors to the building up of the state.
And how would one be a good contributor? You know, what kind of role would one play?
Yeah. No, the idea is that you shouldn't think about yourself. You should think about the group, about the entire society. You shouldn't. It's not I. You know, people didn't speak in the I term. They spoke in the we term. So that's how it worked. Basically, it changed many years later. This changed. One can say it's sometime around the mid-70s.
In you or as in society?
In society.
Okay.
Society that.
Maybe we can talk a bit about your own sort of transformation. What? Give us an idea of what it was for you coming into manhood through this with this Zionist background in a state that was, you know, on another people's land. What was that like, and how did you reconcile that difference in yourself?
Well, it was a long process, basically, that you slowly become you start to realize that all the mythology that we've been going up on, it's not more than a mythology, stories. That beside the narrative of the Jews, there is another narrative there, namely these of the Palestinians. It's not what we've been told at schools, that in 1948 the Palestinians just left or fulfilled their leaders' orders to leave for a week or two till the Arab armies will come in, kick the Jews into the sea and allow them to come back. And as historical documents were made available and more research into what happened in 1948 became clear, suddenly one realizes that there is a huge difference between the stories that we grow up on and reality or what really happened. So it's a process. You start to understand that the just cause of the Jews, it's not what they told us again. You grow. It's a growing up process and a transformation process, but it's a long one.
You're tuned to Rockin' the Boat on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name is the V-Man, and I'm joined today by Israeli-Dutch filmmaker Benny Brunner. He is showing his film It Is No Dream tonight, July 24th, at 7:30 at the Rio Theater, 1205 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. And I had an opportunity to watch the film this afternoon, It Is No Dream. And a number of things come out about the movie. And as I stated in the intro, it is a documentary which looks into the Israeli peace movement from the perspective of Israelis. And it opens with footage from a Tel Aviv demonstration of about 10,000 people calling for an end to the occupation of Palestinian lands. One of the speakers shown at this rally in the film is an Israeli soldier who is opposed to the occupation, part of the what's known as the Refusnik movement, where now up to date, to this day, more than 500 Israeli soldiers have signed on to a letter opposing the occupation. Maybe you can talk about the impact that the Refusnik movement has had on getting media focused on this issue.
In at that time, in early 2002, they were gathering momentum by the day, one can say. Unfortunately, since they we are beyond the peak of the wave, so to speak. They did manage to attract a tremendous amount of media attention, national, Israeli media and international media. They made their impact mainly through the fact that most of them, or many of them, or the majority of them, are what is called combatant. They are not just any soldier; they are combatant. So these guys volunteer to the different units, army units that they served in. So that rocked the boat a bit, if you like, and energized, influenced younger recruits who were called up for the compulsory army service of. 3 years in Israel to refuse. There is a small but constant movement of young high school kids who just finished high school, and then they are called to serve in the Israeli army, and many of them say no, we don't want to do it. Some say we don't want to serve in the army at all because it's an occupation army which commits war crimes and enhances the continuation of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands, and others say we are willing to serve in the army but not in occupied territories. So more or less these are the impacts of the refuseniks. So they officially they are called the letter of refusal, that's how it's called, they are called themselves. No, the refusnik to serve, I don't recall it precisely, but they are on the web somewhere.
Maybe, why is it that you think that this refusnik movement has not only got so much media attention, but also it seems to have attracted a segment of the Israeli population that maybe before this movement might have been somewhat apathetic or just not even aware of what had been going on in their name in the occupied territories.
Simply because they by their action they informed a large section of the Israeli public who didn't want to know what's happening 10 minutes from home, or turn a blind eye, or denied what's happening. So the refuseniks forced on the national agenda for a while, back in 2002, these issues. So they were a kind of an eye-opener, if you like.
Another message that comes across in the film is sort of an expression of frustration that's voiced by Haaretz columnist Gideon Levy.
Yeah.
Who's in the film, and he complains of an overall indifference among Israelis about the plight of the Palestinian people. Can you talk more about this and the prospects of sort of getting through to this sort of indifference that that he is frustrated about?
Yeah. One of the more fascinating cultural processes that took place, it's terribly disturbing, this process, but culturally it's fascinating, is the ability of the Israeli society to suppress the plight of the Palestinians. You know, it's something that didn't happen long ago. It's not something that took place 1,000 years ago or even 100 years ago. We are talking about a little bit more than 50 years. And most Israelis manage to shuffle it under the carpet, so to speak. They completely deny the fact that so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of Palestinians became refugees in 48, and by now there are millions of them and their descendants, and their plight shouts to the sky. So that's that's what being addressed by Gideon Levy in the film and by another participant in the film, Adi Ophir. This process in which an entire society lives in a denial, if you like.
And maybe what do you think it's going to take in terms of, I see that sort of mentality is prevalent not only in Israeli society but in our own here in the United States as well, this sort of arrogance to or indifference to other people's suffering. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you can give us your thoughts on how we as progressive media makers even can get through and sort of break through that thick wall, if you will, penetrate that wall.
Yeah. Well, I think basically what works in these cases is to keep informed the people, to keep deliver the message of your cause, to bring alternative information out. You know, this kind of interviews, no way that it will take place on network radio in this country. No way that the views that I advance and the views that you hold will be aired on even PBS radio. Maybe yes, I don't know. You know better. So keep the airwaves trembling or moving.
That's the voice of Benny Brunner. He's an Israeli-Dutch filmmaker. He's made a number of films on the conflict there in the Middle East. Maybe you can talk about why you decided to use your talents to highlight this issue. And, I mean, what is it, you know, why have you focused? You've done a number of films, one called Al-Nakba on the plight of the Palestinians in 1948, and your most recent, It Is No Dream, which is showing tonight. And you've done other films as well.
Yeah.
Why
the Middle East?
Yeah.
Well, I see myself being in a privileged position of being paid to do what I care about, being paid to do where my heart is, where my conscience takes me. So that's why, I guess. And maybe I'm of the old school that even if I'm not living in Israel these days, I do want to influence the nature, the identity of the Israeli society. The kind of I want to put my two pennies into what Israel will be in the future, and maybe in 10, 15, 20, 50 years from now. So what I know to do is film. So that's what I want to do. I'm trying to advocate the idea of a democratic, liberal, progressive Israel in 67 borders, respecting its minorities and living in peace with its neighbors.
Maybe you can mention a little bit about the distribution of this film and how it's been received. It's showing at the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival, and that's the U.S. premiere. Maybe we can talk more about where and when at the end, but
okay.
What about the distribution? Are you getting? Is it being seen in by broad audiences, or what? How's that been?
It has been seen by broad audiences, but not in this country. The film has been aired in something like 6 or 7 countries: Western Europe, Australia. It was shown in Israel, but not in the cinematheques, in the art houses. Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Haifa, and some festivals and some websites which has clips of the film. It was well received. The problem is that in Israel, for example, the convinced came to see, the people who share the same ideas. And I want it to be seen, of course, by the settlers, for example. I would like to open a debate with people who has completely different opinions. But all in all, it was well received. No complaints on this front.
Have you received any hate mail?
Not with this film, with some other of my film. I was accused of working for the propaganda department of the Nazi minister of propaganda, Goebbels, with another film that I did. And with Al-Nakba also, I got some nasty emails when I did Al-Nakba back in 1997. You know, walking with the enemy, stabbing us in the back, all this nonsense.
It's a common thing I hear from you know, the more right-wing elements of the Israeli society. How do you defend yourself to these charges?
Well, it's useless even to answer them. Yeah. It's you know, it's loony balloony. It's these people they have a direct line to God, so you cannot interfere. There are some people who are genuine right wingers without involving God in the equation. With them you can argue, you know, you can have an ideological debate, kind of a ping pong if you like, but not with the ones who are friends of God, and they know the truth and the rest doesn't know nothing.
Again, you're tuned to Rockin' the Boat on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name's the V-Man. I'm with you every weekday, Monday through Friday, from 5:30 to 6 o'clock. My guest is Benny Brunner, Israeli-Dutch filmmaker. His film, It Is No Dream, will be showing tonight at 7:30 at the Rio Theater, 1205 Soquel Avenue. And the film, as we've been talking about, it documents the will for peace and justice within modern Israeli society. We have about 10 minutes left, and maybe we can take your calls. You did express some interest in maybe having some callers. I wanted to maybe talk a bit about some of the points brought up in the film. One of those is one of the subjects of your film, Meir Shalev.
Yeah.
He's a famous Israeli writer. He talks about this historical perspective that he holds on the conflict, and he uses the motto, "Make peace, not love." I found this really interesting, and he sort of advocates for this progressive peace, i.e., wherein like the two peoples start gradually by first acknowledging the other people as humans.
Yeah.
Maybe can you expand on his philosophy, his motto of make peace, not love, and how will this gradual peace develop?
Well, his assumption, you know, it's a logical assumption that the opposite of war is peace and not love. So he plays on that one. It's a little spin that he plays on it. But what he advocates is the need to calm down. It's the temperature is so high there, the emotions are so open, and the nerves, you know, the nerves are out. So let's calm down. Let's do these cool contracts of lawyers and accountants, and take the next step after that. It's okay, you know, it's okay. The question is, are you willing to accept the inevitable? I said today in a television interview that everybody knows what the solution should be. Really, everybody knows. You know, it's clear. It has been on the table for years now. Israel has to withdraw to the 67 border. Israel has to dismantle the bloody settlements. Israel has to give part of Jerusalem, the east part, to the Palestinians to have it as their state. The rest is commentary. The rest is blah, 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 blah. And the simple fact is that Israel never made concessions before bloodshed. One of Gideon Levy in the film says it. It's always after bloodshed that Israel made the political concessions. So now we are almost 3 years in a very bloody intifada. More than 1,000 Palestinians lost their lives. Something like 600 or 700 Israelis lost their lives. Hundreds of thousands of injured. Shattered lives, shattered economies. And now there is a slow kind of each one is touching the possibilities with great repetition. My answer to Shalev's idea is fine. I don't have anything against a cool contract between accountants, but let's say that we agree to have, in the not long future, a total withdrawal, dismantle of settlements, and the rest of it.
But that doesn't seem to be what's happening right now. I read a report in the New York Times, in fact, that the first 6 months of 2003, settlements are on the rise. 5,000 new settlements have been built. What then, I mean...
How many?
5,000.
That was in the New York Times?
Yeah.
Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I
maybe 5,000 new settlers, rather. I don't know if I have...
Maybe what they call outposts.
Oh, possibly.
Outposts, which are basically a few containers on a top hill and a water tower, something like that. No, but this government is known. This government is a pro-settlers. They expand the settlements, and the representatives of the settlers are part of this government. If the U.S. government would have some of the ministers or the kind of loony right wing ministers that are in the Israeli government this day, the Supreme Court in this country will call it to resign. They are really fascist in the Israeli government this day. True fascist. Really, true fascist.
Then what, I mean, with your film, I mean, it kind of highlights the depth and diversity of the Israeli peace movement, but as you're saying, they're true fascists. What is it going to take to confront that fascism and have a return, like you're saying, to these borders, a withdrawal, a complete pullout?
What it will take, it's that in the next election, the Israeli public will choose a different government, a different leadership. That's what it will take.
Do you think there's
and I think international pressure on Israel is essential in this case. The Israelis should should be hurt. It's tragic to say it, but as long as the Israelis will not understand that there is a price for the kind of leadership they are choosing, they won't make any change. And the South African example is a good one. It took a long process of turning South Africa into a pariah state till some of the leadership there, the white leadership, understood that we are walking into a dead end, into a wall. And without a compromise and a turnaround, 180-degree turnaround, there will be no solution.
Well, we're just running out of time here, Benny Brunner. Do you have any final thoughts today to leave our listeners with?
Support Pirate Radio.
All right, thanks. That's Benny Brunner, Israeli-Dutch filmmaker. His film, It Is No Dream, will be shown tonight, Thursday, July 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the Rio Theater, 1205 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. It's also, if you can't catch it tonight, it'll be shown around the Bay Area in the next couple of days as a part of the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival. You can see It Is No Dream at the Wheeler Auditorium in Berkeley, California on Tuesday, July 29th at 6 p.m., and on Sunday, August 3rd in San Rafael at the Rafael Film Center at 4:30 p.m. And I think if you go to Google and type in San Francisco Jewish Film Festival, you can find out more information about it as well. Benny Brunner, thanks for joining me tonight here on Rockin' the Boat.
Thank you for having me.
And we look forward to a day when we can all live in peace. Stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
You ask me how it is that I dare to take a side. You say I loathe myself for pointing out that you have lied. You say it's tribal warfare, but I disagree, for the dynamics of the situation are not difficult to see. On the one side is the fighter jet, on the other side the stone. On the one side is the slave, on the other is the throne. For the many there are checkpoints, while foreign soldiers rule the streets. For one side there is victory, but the people don't accept defeat. The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. will come on the day the tanks return to Tel Aviv.